It says in Exodus chapter 12, "And the Lord spake to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year unto you. Speak unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of the month you shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb to a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, then let him and his neighbor next unto his house take according to the number of the souls, every man according to the eating shall make you count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper post of the houses, wherein you shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in the night and roast it with fire and unleavened bread. With bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden it at all with water, but roast with fire." And he describes it and so forth. And it says in verse 12, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be for you a token upon the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the blood shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast unto the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread, and the first day shall you put away leaven from your houses, for whosoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And the first day there shall be a holy convocation, and the seventh day shall be a holy convocation unto you. No manner of work shall be done in them except that which every man must eat, only that may be done by you." And it says, let's go over to verse 23. "For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood upon the lintel and the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you." And we all know that Jesus Christ is symbolic of the Passover lamb, a lamb without spot and blemish. And it's interesting, and most of you already know, that when they took the blood in the basin and dipped hyssop branches in there, and they did it on the lintels on the doorpost, which is interestingly enough in the sign of a cross, they put the blood on their doors, and the blood of the lamb, God passed over because of the blood of the lamb. And so when John the Baptist saw Jesus Christ, he says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." Realizing this is the whole mission of the Messiah, was to fulfill this Passover lamb. And it says, verse 24, "And you shall observe this thing for an ordinance to you and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass when you come into the land which the Lord will give you, according as he has promised, and you shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, What mean ye by this service? That you shall say, It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over houses of the children of Israel in Egypt. And when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses, and the people bowed the head and worshiped, and the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they." And it goes on to say that, notice verse 42, "It is a night to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. This is the night of the Lord to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generations." So God commanded that Israel forever would keep this institution of Passover. Israel always had Passover as a reminder of what God did. And God never, ever, ever wanted Israel to forget that he bought them out of bondage of Egypt. And so every year they were to remember that they were free because the Lord brought them out of bondage, the bondage of Egypt. Now, at the time of Jesus Christ, they also kept the Passover, and we're going to go into that tonight. But tonight, sort of close your eyes and imagine you're in Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is a, if you've seen the slides, it's a city with many hills. If you're standing on the Mount of Olives and you look into the old city, on your left is the Mount Zion, the holy habitation of the Lord. In front of you is the Temple Mount, where the temple courts lay, where the priests would sacrifice on the brazen altar at the time of Passover every year. Now, if you were in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago tonight, or this last week, there was a flurry going around. Everybody, it was just packed full of people. Everywhere there was people flooding in from all over the world. Passover is a special time. It was then and it still is. If you go to Israel today and you try to get there on Passover, fly in Passover week, it is packed. Every hotel is packed. People still from all over the world go to celebrate Passover today. At the end of the Jewish Seder feast, the Passover feast, every year the Jews end by saying, next year in Jerusalem. As if their heart's wish was to spend one Passover season in Jerusalem, the holy city of the Lord. A few days before Passover, on a little narrow winding road down from the Mount of Olives, a little donkey trail, a man stood or sat on a donkey. It was probably a Sunday afternoon sometime. It was probably around the 9th of Nisan, which is the first month. Israel was told to make their first month Passover. So this is the first month of the year for them. And this is the 14th of Nisan for the Jews. And this man stood on the crest on a donkey to fulfill Zechariah chapter 9 that, behold, your king cometh lowly and on the foal of an ass, coming with salvation. And as we talked about a couple Sunday mornings ago, how that it was exactly 173,880 days from the going forth of the commandment to restore and rebuild Jerusalem, just like Daniel the prophet said in Daniel chapter 9, that the Messiah would come on an exact day, and he fulfilled it to the exact day. And this is just a few days before Passover. Now, what they did before Passover is they had by this time prepared themselves for Passover. All the breaches in the walls they would fill up, any cracks in the roads they would sort of repave them for visitors coming. All the tombs in and around Jerusalem, they whitewashed them to make them look better. And that's when Jesus, it was during this Passover week, when Jesus said, you are like whitewashed sepulchers, because you look real pretty on the outside, but inside you're full of dead men's bones. It is estimated that at the time of Jesus Christ, there were 500,000 people in Jerusalem living, like about the size of this city here. But at the time of Passover, it swelled to over 2 million, about 2.5 million at least. What people would do because of that is they would open up their homes to any visitors coming in, and they would let them lodge with them for Passover. People would come from all over the world, literally, from Asia Minor, from Africa, from Mesopotamia, and even from Europe, to celebrate Passover in Jerusalem. Remember the Ethiopian eunuch in the book of Acts? When Philip met him down in the desert, he was returning from one of the from Passover and Pentecost, and he was going back into Africa. People from all over the world, and people still do this today. But they would prepare for it, and even today it's exciting to go up to Jerusalem, because no matter where you are in Israel, you have to ascend, you have to go up to elevation to see Jerusalem. And when you get near to Jerusalem, you can see the Temple Mount from miles away. And at that time, some of the Jewish historians and writers describe going up to Jerusalem as the most fantastic event in their whole life, because Jerusalem and the Temple Mount, imagine a mountain that has been leveled and raised up to be flat on top, and then a temple that stood hundreds of feet tall out of pure white limestone, and the top of the holy place was gold all the way around. So Jerusalem was described as a brilliant diamond in a setting of gold that you could see for miles away, and every Jew had a fervor in his heart when he saw Jerusalem. And they called it the Aliyah in Hebrew, the going up into Jerusalem. So it was this Sunday evening, and Jesus rode into Jerusalem, going through the east gate of the city from the Mount of Olives. And at that point, some of his disciples threw their robes down and palm branches at his feet. And they said in Hebrew, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. And they started shouting louder and louder, and the noise and the singing got louder, and almost like one man singing it so loudly. And so the Pharisee says, Master, rebuke your disciples. They don't know what they're saying. They're saying you're the Messiah. Rebuke them. And Jesus said, hey, if these guys hold their peace, even the rocks will cry out. And I always sort of wish when I read that they would have held their peace. I think it would have blown their minds to see these rocks saying the same thing. Praise the Lord. And as I've been to Israel 4 times, and every time I go there and I stand before the east gate going into Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, and there's this bedrock that's been there for thousands of years, ever since Jerusalem's been there, I just think, man, if these rocks could cry, if they could talk, if they could sing, the things that they'd say about the day they saw Jesus come into Jerusalem, as they proclaimed him King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, we read in here how that Israel was told to purge leaven from their house. The Israelis called it the chometz, the leaven. For 7 days, they would take leaven, and on Passover, were commanded to eat unleavened bread. The Jews were, because God delivered them out of Egypt hastily, speedily, very fast, and to make leavened bread takes more time than it does to make unleavened bread, and so they were told to eat unleavened bread as a symbol that the Lord brought them out of their bondage speedily. So they were to eat unleavened bread and purge leaven, because leaven in the scripture is a symbol of what? Sin, evil, corruption, because it grows and it corrupts eventually. So Jesus went through the Golden Gate, presented himself in the temple. At this point, the priests, it was in the afternoon sometime, were getting ready. The smoke was billowing off the altar of sacrifice as they were having the evening oblation as they had every day. And Jesus spent 4 days teaching in the Temple Mount things concerning the kingdom of God. And then one afternoon, he's told his disciples to make ready for Passover and to find an upper room and to get all the things that they needed to get together for Passover, which what you see here, they had to get all this stuff. And Jesus said something when he ate Passover with his disciples. He said, I have longed with great longing and desire to eat this meal, this Passover meal with you. Because it was at this point on Passover that Jesus Christ revealed to them that the Passover was prophetically speaking about himself. Now, we're going to break bread and drink grape juice, drink the fruit of the vine, wine tonight. And there's 4 glasses of wine. And if you got your little things here, notice at the bottom the little drawing. This was a typical Passover plate. And they had 4 glasses of wine, meaning the 4 levels, the 4 expressions of Israel's deliverance out of bondage. And we'll, as we come to it, we'll describe it all to you. It shouldn't take that long. I don't expect it to. But notice that we're going to have a few things. We're going to have salt water here to dip the bitter herbs in. And the salt water is a remembrance of the tears that were shed while Israel was in bondage. The bitter herbs are symbolic of the bitterness that the Egyptians put the Israelis through. We have this stuff here, this little weird-looking stuff. But what that was, it's called charoset, and that was a mixture that's sort of like mortar, and it was to remind the Jews at Passover of the mortar that their forefathers made as they built the Egyptian cities for the Pharaoh. And then the unleavened bread, of course. And so, turn to the first page where it says the Seder. Now, we're supposed to have 4 glasses of wine each. We're not going to do that because it is very, very awkward in this situation, in this setting, to do it. Now, although Jesus had just his disciples with him the Passover night, I want you to put yourself as if you're in the upper room that night with Jesus. There are certain things that everybody says together. There are certain things that the host says by himself. Typically, Passover, you're supposed to take the lamb and eat it, and there's supposed to be a Passover meal. We're not going to do that tonight, because I think you already had dinner, one. And two, it'd be, again, very awkward. So we'll skip the meal part, but we'll go through the Passover feast itself. Now, this is, as far as most scholars know, the identical way Jesus celebrated his Passover, including, now they didn't have little booklets, they knew it by heart, they were Jews. Jesus didn't say, would you pass out the songbooks, Peter, or something. It was something that they had grown up with. Turn to him, number. And it's something that they had grown up with, and it was ingrained within them. And it goes like this, they hold up the glasses, they dip the bitter herbs, and then there's 4 questions that usually the youngest asks, or in this case, in Jesus' case, the disciples ask 4 questions. Why is this night different from all others? And then the host, which at the supper table then was Jesus, described to them the history of Moses and Israel and the deliverance from bondage out of the Egyptians. Now, I'm the host. You are all. And notice at the bottom of the page where it says 4 participants ask the following questions. We're going to do is we're going to go down the line, 1, 2, 3, 4, like this, and you guys will ask the questions, 1, 2, 3, 4, and then there's another part where it says 1, 2, 3, next, and where everybody will have a chance to participate in it. Now, notice on the first page, and you're going to be saying this too, okay? We'll say it slow, but the pronunciations are right there, where it says at the top, it says, Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Ho'olam Borei Pri Hagafen. Now we'll say it slowly, and I didn't write it out in Hebrew characters. It's written out in pronunciation so that you'll be able to pronounce it. It's written in in first in Hebrew and then in English, and we'll go through it real slow. So, let's go. Let's have another word of prayer before we go. Lord, we realize, God, that this is so highly significant, God. That as Jesus kept the Passover and revealed Himself, as He broke the bread and He said that He was the bread of life to be broken, His body for the sins of the world, and as they took the third glass, the glass of redemption, the third cup of wine, He said that that was symbolic, Lord, of His blood being shed in redemption. And that as You delivered Egypt, or Israel out of Egypt and the bondage of Egypt, You have delivered us out of the bondage of sin by Your Son, Jesus Christ. God, I just pray that You'd bless everybody by this tonight, Lord. That we wouldn't look at this as just a ritual or just a funny thing, Lord, but it's very serious, Lord, because the whole Scripture, Father, speaks about the time when Your Messiah would deliver us from sin. And Lord, it's that Lamb that we celebrate tonight, the Lamb of God, for our sins. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, there might not be enough glasses to get... we don't have tables anymore, so everybody get a glass and keep it close to you. And sort of get it dispersed. If you have to share between two or three, that's okay. When you drink the first, don't drink the whole thing. Everybody just take a tiny sip out of it because you got to do it four times. Okay? There's a few more glasses right over here. Okay. Okay, let's get started. Now again, this is the same, we're going through the same format 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem of what Jesus would have done at the Last Supper. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu, melech ho'olam, borei peri hagafen. Blessed art Thou, O Lord our God, who has created the fruit of the vine. Blessed art Thou, O Lord our God, who has sustained us and enabled us to reach this season. Now everybody. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu, melech ho'olam, borei peri hagafen. Blessed art Thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, Creator of the fruit of the vine. Everybody take a sip. I'm not going to wash my hands because I don't have the equipment to do it. But Jesus took and He washed His hands Passover night. And the second time He washed His hands, we'll come to it. It's then when He washed His hands, He put the water bowl down and He took the towel that they ceremonially used and put it around His waist and washed His disciples' feet. Something that wasn't done orthodox at Passover. But He did it to show them what a servant He was and that they must do that too. God has provided the tender greens of the earth and the salty sea to sustain life. The greens represent our sustenance. The salt water is a reminder of the tears that we shed while slaves in Egypt, and the sea we passed through towards freedom. May we also remember that hyssop was dipped into the blood of the sacrifice to secure our release from bondage. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu, melech ha'olam, borei peri hagafen. Blessed art Thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, Creator of the fruit of the earth. I'm going to need some help by you guys. Let me pass that around. Everybody take, break a half a leaf and take a half a leaf of this and just hang on to it. Okay, everybody wait till you get a piece. And say, take a little piece for yourself and don't eat it all. Save a piece because you're going to need it again to have another dipping in just a minute. Lettuce is also, to the Hebrews, considered a bitter herb. There's a lot of bitter herbs and we have to dip this as a bitter herb later on. And it's not bitter, but I did it to spare you guys. If I would have got you really a bitter herb... You wouldn't have, in fact, they use horseradish a lot of times. The idea is that when they eat it, they make themselves cry to remember the tears of their forefathers. It was highly symbolic that they would eat a bitter herb to remember the bitterness. So let's all eat a piece of our bitter herb. The Torah refers to a son who asks a question concerning the feast, as it is written, in times to come when your son asks you, what is the meaning of the decrees and the laws and customs that the Lord our God has laid down for us? And you shall tell him this, once we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt by a strong hand. Before our eyes, the Lord worked great and awesome signs and wonders against Egypt, against Pharaoh, and against all his house. Why on this night do we only eat unleavened bread? We were slaves in the land of Egypt. And on the night of our forefathers left Egypt, they did not have time to let their dough rise. As it is written, they were thrust out of Egypt and could not tarry, neither had they prepared for themselves food and supplies. Why on this night do we eat bitter herbs? We eat bitter herbs because the Egyptians made the lives of our forefathers bitter. As it is written, they made their lives bitter with hard bondage, in mortar and in brick, and in all manner of service in the field, and of all of their service was terribly severe. Why do we dip twice? We dip the first time to taste of the tears of slavery. We dip a second time in the Charoseth to remind ourselves of the mortar our forefathers mixed as slaves. Charoseth is sweet to remind us that it was the service in Egypt that strengthened Israel for her journey through the wilderness. Why do we recline at ease? We recline at ease to remind ourselves that tonight we are made free by the blood of God's sacrifice. At one time our ancestors were idolaters, but now the Lord has brought us near to worship Him, as it is written. Then Joshua said to the people, "The Lord God of Israel says this, in ancient days your ancestors lived beyond the Euphrates, like Terah, Abraham's father, and Nahor, and they served other gods. To Abraham he said, 'Get thee out of your father's country and your father's house to a land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great.'" And we'll all read the plagues together. Blood, frogs, gnats, light, boils, hail, fire, locusts, darkness, striking the firstborn. When Pharaoh's own firstborn son was smitten, he arose in the night and called for Moses. "Get you forth from my people," he cried. The children of Israel left Egypt that night in great haste. And the Lord caused the waters of the Red Sea to divide, and the children of Israel passed over on dry ground. When the Egyptians pursued them into the sea, it closed upon them. Let us remember and never forget. Slaves we were to Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord our God brought us out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Let us remember and never forget. The promise of God to deliver our people has been kept again and again throughout the ages. Okay, go ahead.
Blessed be he who has kept his promise to Israel. As it is written, the Lord told Abraham beforehand, Know for a certainty that your seed shall be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and that people shall afflict them 400 years. The nation whom they serve I will judge, and afterwards they shall come out with great possessions.
This is the promise that sustained our ancestors and sustains us. Pharaoh is not the only one to rise up to destroy us, but in every generation some have risen to annihilate us. But the Holy One, blessed be He, has delivered us out of their hands. In every generation, each individual is bound to consider himself as if he personally had gone forth from Egypt. As it is written, this is because of what the Eternal did for me that I came out of Egypt. Now we raise our glasses again. We are therefore duty-bound to thank, praise, glorify, extol, honor, bless, exalt, and revere Him who wrought all these wonders for our ancestors and for us. He brought us forth from bondage to freedom, from sorrow to joy, from mourning to festivity, from darkness to bright light, and from servitude to redemption. Therefore, let us sing before Him a new song. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, everyone. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Let the name of the Lord be praised from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, His glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who sits enthroned on high, who stoops down to look on the heavens and the earth? He raises the poor from the dust and lifts up the needy from the ash heap, to seat them among the princes of His people. The barren housewife He brings forth as a happy mother, sons. Hallelujah. Now all of us together in Hebrew. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu, Melech Ha'olam Borei Pari Hagafel. At this point, Jesus took wafers, unleavened bread, and he broke them, and he blessed them. And it says this in Matthew 26 that he blessed them. Now, this isn't where he gave the instructions of the Lord's body, but we're going to have these guys pass them out. Take a wafer, take a good chunk of it, and just go ahead and pass it around this way and then that way. Take a good chunk of it, and when we partake, don't eat it all, because we have to dip it again in some with the bitter herbs again. Everybody together. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Ha'olam. See, Lechem Min Ha'aretz. I guess I was supposed to do that. Sorry. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth, and who has sanctified us with your commandment of this night to eat unleavened bread. Take a part of your unleavened bread and eat it. By the way, this is the same kind of bread that they had thousands of years. It was round then, square today. Basically, the same materials are put into it. If you go to Israel today, you can go to Jerusalem, and they have semi-trucks stacking all over the place full of these things. They ship them all over Israel because everybody celebrates it in Israel. Now, we have this in front of us, and in a minute, we're going to dip the matzot, the unleavened bread, and the bitter herb, which you have left, into that and eat that. Now each of us will take a bit of the bitter herb and dip it in the charoseth to fulfill the commandment of this night to eat bitter herb. Thus we dip our food the second time. So take part of your cracker and the rest of your bitter herb and dip it. Pass this around to people so they can dip it and take a chunk of this and eat it. It's good, don't worry. It's got sugar in it. Okay, at this point, the meal is served, and they would take the lamb, and they would roast the lamb, and they would have lamb chops or something. But they would have this neat meal, and to have a real Orthodox Passover, it took about 3 hours to have a genuine Passover, something that you just relax, recline, and kick back, and have the prayers and also the meal. And we're not going to have the Passover meal tonight, so pray, or I mean, just pretend, play like you just got full eating a big bunch of lamb. And we'll finish the Passover. Also, it's real interesting, as we eat unleavened bread, they would take the leaven in the house that they would find those 7 days before tonight, before Passover, and they would take the leaven, put it in a napkin, and bundle it up, and put it at the corner of their property and burn it outside their house. Symbolic of the evil of sin being destroyed. Now the third glass of wine is poured. This is the cup of redemption, it's called, the third glass. And it says, everyone takes a piece of the matzah, piece of your cracker. Do you have any left?
No.
If you don't have any left, grab some. And it says, the blessing is said. So, we have eaten our meal as free men. Let us give thanks, and to the source of our life and strength, we will say grace. Blessed be the name of the Lord from now to eternity. Let us bless Him of whose bounty we have partaken, and by whose goodness we live. Blessed are You, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who feeds the whole world in Your goodness, with grace and kindness and mercy, who gives food to every creature, for Your mercy endures forever. And as Your abundant mercy has never failed us, so may we never be in want of sustenance for the sake of Your holy name. At this point now, Jesus took and he broke the bread. When I broke the bread and He passed it out, then He broke the bread again. And He said, this is My body broken for you. And it was before the third cup of redemption. And at this point also, Jesus took the cup before they drank, and since it was the third cup, and the cup was the cup of redemption, He said, this is My blood, which will be shed for you for the remissions of sin. Do this in remembrance of Me. In other words, as you take Passover every year, you guys, He was telling His disciples, do it in remembrance of Me. I'm the fulfillment of the Passover. And it's also interesting that they had the Passover meal. Jesus, it was a double Sabbath that year in the month of Nisan, and Jesus was actually crucified on a Passover, on the Feast of Passover, which is very interesting because then Jesus literally fulfills the Old Testament Passover of a lamb being slain without spot and blemish. So let's eat some of the matzah and drink some more of the third cup. During the Passover, they every year said excerpts. They said the Psalms from Psalm 113 to Psalm 118 are called the Hallel Psalms, the Songs of Rejoicing. And they said Psalm 113 to Psalm 115 in between there, before the third cup of redemption. And after the cup of redemption, after the third cup, they said Psalm 118. And read it. And as you read it, read what it says. And think how heavy it would be to be a disciple reading this the night Jesus was betrayed. All Thy works shall praise Thee, Jehovah our God. I will praise Thee, for Thou hast heard me, and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders set at naught is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech Thee, O Lord. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. Wow. How heavy that was. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord is what they said as Jesus came in to Jerusalem on a donkey. And also the stone, it says that the builders set it at naught or rejected, has become the head of the corner. Paul often quoted this in saying that Jesus Christ, being the stone that was rejected, is actually the head of the corner of Israel. And this is said the night before Jesus was betrayed. It's also interesting to note that if we were seeing Passover then, Jesus with his 12 disciples reclining and eating Passover, Jesus washed everybody's feet. And he said, Peter says, Lord, there's no way, God, that you're going to wash my feet, Lord. And Jesus said, well, Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you'll have no part with me. And Peter goes, Lord, not my feet, but everything, my head, everything then. I want to be a part of you. Jesus told him to do likewise, but it's interesting that Jesus didn't stop with Judas's feet, but he washed Judas's feet, knowing that Judas would betray him. But sort of probably giving Judas a second chance. It's not too late. I still love you. I'm still going to serve you, Judas. Although he knew that Judas would betray him. And remember when we took the bitter herb and the matzah and put it in that mortar stuff, the charoseth? It was then that Jesus told the disciple next to him, John, one here that sits with me tonight will betray me. And he says, the one that I give the sop to, he will betray me. And Jesus took the unleavened bread, the bitter herbs, dipped it in the mortar stuff, in the sweet, and he gave it to Judas. And then we all raise the fourth cup. And together we say,
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech ha'olam Borei Peri Hagafel. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, for the grapevine and its grapes, for the yield of the fields, and for the pleasant, good, and ample land which it pleased you to give our fathers, so that they might eat its fruit and be satisfied by its goodness. Have mercy, O Lord our God, upon your people Israel, on your holy city of Jerusalem, on Zion, the abode of your glory, upon your altar, and upon your dwelling place. Make us happy on this feast of Matzah, for thou art the good Lord, who does good to all, and we thank you for the land and the fruit of the grapevine. Blessed art thou, O Lord, for the land and its fruit of the vine. The Seder is now ended, and it says in Matthew 26, verse 30, that Jesus and his disciples sung a hymn, and that closed the Passover.